You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're in the studio tonight. We're having a great show tonight. Joining me in studio, Bill Barnett. Bill, great to be back in studio together.
Hey, it's been a while since we've been here, huh?
I know.
Just like old school
it's
times.
It's nice old school times. Right. It's kind of cool, huh?
Of course, I'm here, you know, during the week. 8 hours a day slaving away, you know, just working in the coal mines, that type of thing.
Coal mining, yes.
The coal mines.
I get it. Yeah, Bill and I have had a long and illustrious relationship. We have been friends, and he has been my producer since 2012. So it's been some time. So we're aging ourselves right there, but we're still 21 years old.
That's right.
Joining me in studio is Michael Moulton. Michael, so glad to have you here today.
Good to see you, Ashley. Welcome back. We're both back in town. Back in town and up here in downtown, the Big D, the 214. We're downtown, baby.
Downtown Julie Brown.
I know it. I'm glad.
This is good time. So yeah, you were out of town. I was out of town. Now we're back in town and we're going to have some fun tonight.
I'm excited to be the guest, and I'm just going to follow you. I'm following the professional tonight. I'm just going to follow you and just don't throw me off in a ditch.
I'm not going to. We've known each other long enough that you know that's not the way I roll. So let's talk tonight. We're having a good time. We're talking about typecasting. And I know that you're out there and you have an actor or actress and you love them, but it seems like every single film they're in, they're the same type of character. You know, we have those guys that we love and we think they're great, but they're the villain. It's the villain, and you go, wow, he plays a great villain, or he plays a great this, or he plays a great that, or she plays a great this, or she's constantly that type of actress or actress in that type of role. And we call that what? We call that typecast. Person seems to have been typecast in their career, and it's really hard for them to outgrow that or to get out of that typecasting and get a different role. And I know you might be asking, hey, Ashley, how does that even have anything to do with me? And that's a good question. But did you ever think about the fact that you might have already typecast yourself in a certain specific role in your life that you're living out day after day after day after day? And I know it's interesting because we don't really think about that in our life. We look at actors and actresses and say, man, their career was great except for they got typecast as this. Well, what about us? And it's time for us to take a good look. And the cool thing about this show is you know that I'll talk about this stuff, we'll bring it up, we'll raise it to the surface, but we're also going to have some solutions and some ways of dealing with it and making our life the truest and the best that we can make it. So let's begin talking about typecasting tonight, and I want to begin with the major typecast role that I see a lot of times when it comes to men and women alike. You know, being a therapist and being in the office and seeing clients hour after hour, one of the biggest things that I find is that oftentimes we typecast ourselves as the what? The savior. How many men out there right now, you're driving down the road, you're in your studio, you're at your house, whatever you're doing, you're listening to the show, and you go, golly, I have tried to save a lot of people in my life. I tried to save this person, I tried to save that lady, that's my second wife, my third wife, whatever. How many of you women out there have been trying to save men after men after men? I just don't know why I keep finding these men that just they can't get it together, I'm taking care of them, I keep finding the same type of thing. But why? It's because you're playing the savior. Michael, you know what I'm talking about. You see folks every day that fall into this typecast.
I do, and you know, based on my personal experience, we call it delusional thinking. You know, I become the actor in my own movie. I try to be somebody or something that I'm not. And it's delusional. And what happens is I start really thinking that I'm this person. I mean, I think I'm Tom Cruise. You know what I mean? And Top Gun. You know, when Top Gun was out, you know. But I didn't know anything about typecast. I mean, I knew what you're talking about. I didn't know there was a name to it, typecast. And it can be very dangerous. And so as we talk about on our show, we talk about alcoholism and drug addiction. And, you know, disappearing in this false delusional thinking is a drug. It increases dopamines and we get to escape and live this false life. And we start actually believing it. You know, we believe these lies that we tell ourselves. And there is a solution to that.
It so is. And it's interesting that a lot of people don't realize that there's a whole backbone to all these things. There's a whole situation that goes back to a long time ago of why we typecast ourselves. And I know if you're looking at it just from the surface, as far as the Savior's concerned, we say, well, we just want to help people because we love them. And yeah, I totally agree that we want to help people because we love them. But there's a lot more happening in the background. And it all goes back to self-esteem and self-worth. Okay? Because a lot of times when we go to try to save somebody, we're saving them because we feel as though if we help them, if we take care of them, then they have to love us. Okay, if I find you and you're basically in the ditch, right? And we've talked about that. You're in the ditch. I got to pull you out, vice versa. You got to pull someone else out and you feel, okay, I'm going to pull them out. I'm going to do this stuff for them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to put them up in a house. I'm going to buy them a car. You know what I'm saying? That whole thing. And then you think, okay, because I did all this stuff, somebody's going to love me for it. They're going to love me and they're going to treat me well and all this is going to work out. But the thing is that the Savior doesn't realize that what's going to happen around the bend is resentment.
Mm.
So you save somebody and you help them in your own right, which you don't let them hit rock bottom. You don't let them do it themselves, right? Which is also codependency. And we feel like we're doing something, but what we're doing is we're actually stealing the other person's ability to take care of themselves. But we feel like we're saving them.
So what are you saying that before the person goes in to save that person, they actually have expectations there's something in return for them for doing this?
Love.
Is that what you're saying?
Love.
Love.
Yes.
Yeah.
They feel like if I do all this, then they're going to love me.
Right.
If I take care of them, they're going to love me. But the thing is that there's one thing to take care of somebody when they're sick. It's another thing to sit there and say, they're ill, they're under weather, whatever it is, and we work through it. But the other thing is I'm going to basically take care of them, provide them with all this in their life, you know, literally pull them up, do whatever they have to do, buy them all the clothes. A lot of men out there. I'm talking to some of you men out there right now. I'm talking to some of you women out there. Some of you men out there buying her all the clothes and the shoes and the car and everything else. And then later on, you don't understand why, 5 years of marriage and everything's just like, everything's in the trash.
Mm.
I don't understand why she doesn't love me. I mean, Bill, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen folks and you've had a lot of friends in your life where the man was the savior. Not always a man, though. It can be a woman, too, because I know a lot of women out there that try to save every single man.
My mom's ex-boyfriend, she was with him for 15 years. And, really, he thought he was saving her. Saving her from her family, saving her from this, saving her from that. And when he finally found out that she couldn't be saved, quote unquote, then, he finally kicked her to the curb.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's like saving somebody is like taking, and I know for some of you out there, you say, well, I'm just trying to do the best for that person. I want to give them the life that they don't have. And I get that. I understand that. But there's a difference between helping somebody and spoiling them. And then there's a difference with not letting, like literally helping somebody over and over again and not letting them the ability to help themselves. And that's where somebody becomes resentful because all of a sudden they get resentful for the person doing it to some degree because they go, why can't I do it myself? Because what's happening is that other person doesn't have any self-esteem.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying,
absolutely,
Michael?
Absolutely. I'm processing all this first segment because you're teaching me. You're teaching me something here. So because this is very common. And it's once again, it's a delusional life. It's not living life on life's terms. It's not being honest. It's just what it boils down to is not being honest.
And the thing is this goes back to like our childhood. A lot of folks that started became a savior, okay, in their adult life is because the dynamic between, let's say you're a guy and you find yourself in the saving modality with women in your life. Probably if you go back to the way that your relationship was with mom is you had to take care of mom. Okay. And you had to jump through hoops to take care of mom. Mom needed you all the time. Whatever you needed to do, she needed you to hold her hand, to take care of stuff, to make things right. And so you learn that mom loves me when I do X, Y, Z. Mom loves me when I do this or get her out of a tough bind or take care of this or do that or whatever. And so you grow up that saying, well, I was a savior to her and it seems to have worked. Now I'm going to continue to do that. But we don't realize that the dynamic is not healthy. Okay, because when you try to help somebody like and stop them from living, we get in the way of them living their life. And later on, that person's going to resent that, be upset with that, and feel as though you didn't think they could do it on their own, and they're going to feel limited. When I return, I'll be talking more about typecasting and how you can untypecast yourself right now on Live Your True Life Perspectives right here with Ashley Burgess. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Yes, live in the studio tonight, we're hanging out. I'm joined by Bill Barnett and Michael Moulton, and we're having a great show tonight. We're talking about typecasting. We're talking about how, you know, actors and actresses around the planet get typecast. They end up being the villain or the savior, whatever it is, or, you know, or the ditzy girl or the this or the that or the one that, you know, and there's some actors that are always killed, you know, early in the film. Like, they're the one that dies, you know what I mean? You're like, golly, you know, and you feel bad about it because they've been typecast, and it's so hard to get out of that. But do you know that you may have actually typecasted yourself in this lifetime? Just like them, but instead of it happening to them, we actually create it. And you know, the interesting thing about it is I found that there's a few different types of typecast, different roles, and these specific roles are the ones that are often played. The first role is what we've been talking about, is the savior. Many of you guys out there and many of you women out there know exactly what I'm talking about. You go out there and you save, you know, some of you men talk about the wounded bird. Or, you know, she was wounded and I needed to help.
I'm guilty of that. Yeah, back in the day. I mean, I literally, you know, when I was single and I was active in my disease, all right, I didn't have the money, but I would find this wounded dove and I would try to save this person, tell her everything that she wanted to hear, and I would build this real false scenario, this real safe life that I got you. Mm-hmm. You know, I got you. You know, we can do this. And I mean, and it was all a lie. It was all a lie. And guess who loses? We all lost. We all lost, and it built up a lot of harm, and it damaged a lot of people.
Well, and the thing, too, is this, is that, and I'm going to tell you a real big secret. Okay, no matter what I say to you, if you don't believe it, what I'm telling you sounds like a lie. Okay, so what I just said is that if I tell you you're great and you're awesome and everything and you don't believe it, it doesn't matter how often I say it. It doesn't matter, because if you don't believe it, it's not real. And so the biggest thing about this whole deal is a lot of times with the savior goes in to save the bird, the wounded bird, like mm-hmm. you were talking about, and you go in there and save her, right? But the thing is that who are you saving her from? Herself? It's like we have to learn how to get up on our own two feet and move. And I understand I have been helped in the past by people, and I've helped people in the past too. But what I've realized is that when I see somebody basically incubate somebody in this savior thing, it turns out poorly. Because the other person ends up being resentful because they're like, I want to do it for myself. I can do it for myself. Because what happens is the person saves them and they get them over a certain hump, right? They get them in the house. They got the car. They got the clothes. They go to the mall. They go shopping. They do all this stuff. But over eventually that starts to wear off and there needs to be more and more and more done. But the thing is that that person that saved that person initially, the person that's being saved feels like that person is overbearing. Feels like that person is all in their business all the time. You know, why are you always here? Why are you always judging me? Why are you always in my business? And that's the key, is that it becomes this control thing.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden we're controlling somebody and the person's feeling control. But in the beginning, when they wanted to be saved, that control was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? And so then all of a sudden that control changes and they go, you're just control. You're a control freak. You're abusive. You see what I mean? And then that's when all hell breaks loose.
Right. It's two sick people day one getting together.
It's two sick people. And the thing is that being the savior came from something that you learned as a child, something you saw as a child, or maybe you saw the dynamic between your mom and dad and how dad always saved mom, or how mom always saved dad. And that's what you thought love is, because that's why you start doing it, is because you think that's what love is, but that's not what love is. Bill, what do you think about this?
You're going to think I'm silly for this, but you know what song just came to mind when you said that?
Which one?
When Doves Cry. Prince.
That's awesome.
This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
I like that.
But that's the lyrics to the song. You know, maybe I'm just like my mother. You know, she's never satisfied. Maybe I'm just like my father.
Wow.
And whatever it was. And,
profound.
And I'm really dating myself here.
Well, I know you were 2 years old when that came out.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Okay.
You know, one and a half. Just came out of the womb.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what love is. Like, saving somebody isn't what love is. Taking somebody from their karma is not what love is. Taking somebody away from being able to stand up on their own two feet is not what love is. But you're right, Bill. It's about what we learned as what we think love is. And that's what we get into. And the next typecasting, and I know that this will connect with many of you out there right now, is the victim mentality. And I think, Michael, we talked about this on the show a million times from here to yesterday about the victim mentality. But think about it. How many folks, okay, let's talk about, you know, you dealing with, like, let's talk about the 12 steps and going through the process. And let's say, you're, you know, whatever, when you're meeting with folks, how often does it start with the story? Well, you know, it's not my fault and everything's happening to me. And it seems like everybody's doing this to me. And you know, it's almost like, you know, somebody pushed me into it. You know, the victim mentality is based on I don't have enough power of my own, and everybody's doing this to me. And I'm sure you hear this oftentimes with people who have not gotten sober.
Absolutely. And I was very guilty of that. You know, everybody's doing it to me. You know, we call that paranoia, and all that's a result of fear. You know, we've talked about on the show, this is all fear based, you know, and when I get in the feeling of fear, if I don't do anything with the feeling of fear, it turns into resentment. If I don't do anything with the feeling of resentment, it turns into anger. Anger turns into rage. Rage turns into isolation. Isolation turns into paranoia. And all of these character defects of mine, I'm trying to change the way I feel with people. You know, I try to find that person to try to change the way I feel. And the solution is like what we talk about, is number one, get honest. I got to get honest. You know, I got to get honest and I got to learn how to, for me, I got to learn to trust God. I got a clean house. And then I can help others, like, you know, but before I got to make sure I'm healthy before I get into a relationship. You know, if I'm saying things that aren't true, if I'm saying things to try to change the way you feel that aren't true, I'm sick. You know, I'm very active in a disease.
I agree with that. And it's interesting because the victim mentality to me, this typecasting role started at a young age. Okay. It started when you're a kid. And, you know, so none of this stuff is, we're not blaming anybody on what's going on. We're just opening this up to show. It's all about, in order to learn, we've got to have the knowledge. In order to have the knowledge, we got to see. So we're just seeing right now. So it's like the victim thing is something that starts at a young age. And usually the victim began with, you know, probably being abused, being neglected. Something happened at childhood. Okay, that you felt like the victim, like things kept happening to you. And as a child, we don't have the power. We don't have the power to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. You're a kid. You know, I remember a long time ago, I was raised in a certain religion, and I had a conversation with the minister, and I said, hey, I really want to go check out other religions because I think there's something else out there. And I remember we sat down in the church, and he said, you should go check out as many religions as you want. You should go check out whatever you want and come back. And if you want to come back, great. And I said, but sir, that's a great idea, but I'm in middle school. Okay. And I can't just go take the car out and drive around all these different churches. That's not going to happen. I got to deal with being, I live with my parents. I'm not going to have a license till I don't know how long. It's a great idea, sir, but I'll be going to this church until the day that I actually get a license and can do what I want to do. So coming from that child mentality, things are happening to us. And when things happen to you so much as a kid, so many negatives, so many bad things, maybe you were dealing with an abusive family. Maybe your mom or dad was mentally, physically, mentally or verbally abusive to you. Okay. And you began to feel like the victim, but I don't want you to keep living that way. I don't want you to keep getting into every single relationship where somebody is hurting you, taking advantage of you, making you feel bad. And then you feeling as though basically what's happening in your life is everything's just happening to you. And I know that Bill and I talked about this before, about the victim mentality. I mean, right. We have family members that have, you know, we have family and friends that are in this typecast every single day of their life.
And here's the thing, they know that they need to get out of it, but they don't know how. And I think it's because we prefer the devil we do know than the devil we don't. It's a scary world outside your little box sometimes.
You're right. And you're right. It's like we do what we know. And so on tonight, later on, we're going to give you some more solutions, but I want to go through all the typecasting because I want you to actually think about this, because many of you out there listening right here on 570 KLAF, many of you are listening on iHeartRadio, many of you are listening on KLAF.com/Ashley, some of you are watching live right now on Facebook Live. Michael and I are both going live on Facebook Live, and so you might be watching there, but many of you are going to fit some of these descriptions. Not bad, it's not good, it's just the truth. Okay, and we can only get better when we acknowledge the truth. And so I know many of you people out there that feel like the victim. It was because it started at a young age, and those destructive thoughts of how being abused and being taken advantage of and feeling powerless has gotten into your day-to-day life. It has literally poisoned the well. Okay, and it has poisoned the well, and we're going to unpoison the well. We're going to work to check this out tonight, because tonight there's going to be solutions.
Oh, solutions? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great idea. Let's do solutions. I love solutions, baby.
I do too.
I can jump in on that.
I love solutions.
That's right.
When we return, we'll be talking more about typecasting. We're going to also bring up three other typecasts, and some of you might fall into that as well. And, you know, it's not good, bad, or indifferent. This is just reality. And when we get over this hump and we begin to understand this and we see it for what it is, all of a sudden we illuminate our own life. And guess what happens? We actually become powerful and we take over our life.
Come
Stay
on.
Tuned.
That's good stuff.
Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Well, we'll be back. You know it. We'll be back this time, and we'll be back this time in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Here we go. We're in the studio tonight. I got Bill Barnett, Michael Moulton. We're in the studio. We're talking about typecasting and how actors and actresses worldwide are typecast into that certain role. They're either, you know, the villain or the heroine or whatever it is. You know, all that. And then you look at that person, you're like, God, they're always the same. They always play that same type. You know that they could be something more than that, but they get stuck in that one thing. And I don't know if they have bad agents or I don't know what happens, but they just can't get over it. And then they try to overcome that. Like, you know, the guy that played Harry Potter, right? He was typecast for Harry Potter, right? And Radcliffe, right? And he had to go do a Broadway, an off-Broadway play and an off-play in, like, Britain to try to change his typecasting. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's what we're talking about tonight, is how we are also typecast in our own life. But it wasn't an agent or a producer that typecast us. Who typecast us? We did. Okay, so what happens is we grew up a certain way and we let that stuff incubate into our day-to-day life, and then we basically started just living that way, and we kept reinforcing what was ever going on, bad, good, whatever, and we bring it into our adult life. You know, whether it's the savior and we want to save people, whether it's the victim because we've been victimized as a child, and so we go through that victimization, and as an adult we still feel like the victim. Okay, because we don't know how to get out of it, because we forgot that we now are an adult. We are no longer a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old child that is the beck and call at their family dynamic. And, you know, Michael, we've talked about this on several shows about the victim. And when we're victims, what happens is we feel like everything's happening to us and we have no power over it. And whether we're in a bad relationship, quote, quote, you know, an abusive relationship, I don't know why I keep finding the worst men. I don't know why I keep finding the worst women. Why do these things keep happening to me? And it's not just about love. It's about everything.
It is. I mean, it's we call it. It's so funny. I'm sitting here thinking about typecasting. Let me define what I hear. OK, living a lie. That's mm-hmm. what I hear, is living a lie. And that's what typecasting is in my world, all right? And so, and we also call it self-pity, you know, poor me, poor me, pour me a drink, you know, in my mm-hmm. world of addiction and recovery. And it's dangerous. It is dangerous that when I start living a lie in my head, I will start believing it. And I will go to any length to fill out that character. You know, I will go to any length to maintain that character.
And that's so true. I mean, that's so true.
Hey, Michael, do you find in your world that even though they know it's a lie, they would rather still live the lie than get out into the truth because it's just so scary?
Great question. That's called insanity. Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, insanity is doing the same thing over and over, knowing what the result's going to be. I mean, that's how sick we will get in the disease of addiction, knowing, and people will go, man, you are delusional. Stop hanging out with us and we'll go find a new group to run game on. You know, we'll go find a new group to say, you know, yeah, I was the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboy for 7 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like that.
And, you know, until someone will believe us, you know, and but really no one believes us. But we truly believe we are the person who we think we are. And I'm being radical. Well, I'm not being radical, but I mean, the textbook, all I can do is speak about my own personal experience. And I'm guilty of this. The more you talk about this, I am guilty of this character defect. I'm guilty of this behavior because when I am active in my disease, trying to change the way I feel. I'm not spiritually connected. I'm trying to change the way I feel. So I want to act like somebody else. You know, oh, I like what that guy's got. I like the way he carries himself. I like the way he buys things. I like the way girls treat him. I'm going to talk, walk, and act just like him. And I really start thinking I am him. I'm not. I'm not him.
That's so true. And it's like all of us out there, what you said about it's living a lie, it's true. And I'm going to tell exactly why that is in a little while, because it's not a bad person that makes these decisions. It's somebody that just wanted to be loved. Okay. And so, you break it down to the human condition. And the thing is that when we're born into a family dynamic, those are family. And if it's a man, it's a woman, it's a man, it's parents, it's grandparents. They are like the gods. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Just saying that's the way it is, because they're like really tall humans and we're a tiny infant, right? And so we feel like they are in charge. They are supposed to do the right thing for us. Unfortunately, for many of you out there watching and listening, your parents and your family dynamic did not do what they should have done. Okay. And so unfortunately, you were raised with feeling insecure. You were raised with codependency tendencies. You were raised with a violent household or an angry household or whatever that was that caused you to figure out, okay, I've got to fit into one of these holes and pegs. And
these were the tools that were given to me.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so I got to fit into it, right? I got to fit in if I'm the savior, because the only time that mom loves me is when I'm doing something for mom. Okay. The only time that dad cares about me is when I do what dad says, right? And I go out of my way. As far as the victim, I've always been in that role, right? It's always somebody's always hurting me. I'm always being put down. You know, mom and dad, the dynamic's not good. It's never really changed. Every time, for many of you, the victim, if you felt like this because of your parents, when you go back home to see your family over the holidays, and I just put a video out, it's on YouTube, and it's called, you know, Holidays and Toxic Family. It just came out like 2 days ago on YouTube. Go to Ashley Burgess. Just the YouTube channel is Ashley Burgess. But you go back home and you hang out with your family. You might be 45, 50 years old, but you feel like a kid again. You feel, not in a good way, not like in a, oh, this is awesome way. You feel like a kid again because you feel abused. You feel victimized. You feel tiny. You hate every moment you're there. You try to figure out how to leave because you are victimized, because you feel like a victim, because you've been a victim the whole time. And now we go back into the family dynamic. Nothing's changed. You're still the victim, but you might be 45.
And guess what happens? Guess what happens here? We get back into resentment. It's that deadly spiral. Now you feel the victim again, and the number one offender that kills people today, that kills people, is resentment.
And what happens when we feel like the victim? What do? A lot of times we might drink.
Yeah.
We might use drugs. We might use pharmaceuticals. We might be in tough relationships because we're acting out. We might make bad choices, okay, because we feel like we don't have any rights. Right? We feel like we have no power. We feel powerless. And what happens when you feel powerless? You make bad decisions.
And that's true. And what we do is we reach out. You ready? We reach out. Well, let me say, I used to reach out to human solutions for my human problems. Mm-hmm. So when I reach out for human solutions for my human problems, it's a train wreck, an absolute train wreck based on my experience.
See, and that's what happens. We go for what we've always done. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we've always gone and said, okay, like take for example the toxic family. You go into the toxic family, you don't have the tool set, you don't have the solutions. So what happens? You go into that dynamic, you try to get out of there as fast as you can, you feel like a tiny kid again, you leave there, you go back home. Maybe you're married and maybe your husband or wife is like, I hate when you go over there, you know, because you come back and you're just like you're weathered. I mean, you look like you're in pain. I hate seeing you like this. Some of you go back home and you're like, yeah, they got nothing. You know, okay, I'm gonna open up a bottle of wine. I'm going to drink that bottle. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make some bad choices, right? Because, you know, that's the way we are when we feel like we're powerless. And you know, so some of the other typecasts real quick, because I think we want to get into solution here in this next segment.
Because we're getting into solution.
We got to. It's solution time, baby. It's solution time, baby. So some of the other typecasting is I'm not good enough. Okay, how many of us feel like we're not good enough? We always feel like everybody else is better. Everybody else has got, you know, got their stuff together. And we always kind of we always cut ourselves short. How many of you out there right now go, you know what, Ashley? I look at myself and I always feel like everybody's doing better than I am. And many of you out there, you put yourself last. You always do because you were raised to believe that you weren't good enough. Maybe mom and dad never praised you. Maybe they put you down. Okay, maybe you got beaten down by sister, brother, whatever it is, and that becomes something in your whole life. And so you go through your whole life feeling in every single situation, I am not good enough. Okay, and that has to be changed because you are. We're going to talk about it. Another typecast is being lonely. I'm always going to be lonely. I'm never going to have anybody. I'm always going to be on my own. There's never going to be anybody. I'm never going to meet anybody. There's never going to be anybody. I mean, how many times did I hear people say, there's never any good guys out there. Mm. All the good guys are taken. Or there's no good women out there. They're all horrible users. Da, 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 da. There's no, all the good women are gone. Mm. And how are you going to find a good woman or a good man if you think they're all gone? Then you're not going to find one.
Oh, I got solutions, baby.
You got solutions, baby.
I got solutions for this.
And then last but not least, the unhappy. I mean, many of us have lived a life being unhappy. Being unhappy. And unhappiness is tough because when we live unhappy, we don't see how to be happy. We can't be happy because we don't know it because we don't feel like we have the tools. And so what happens when we're unhappy? We look outside of ourselves to be happy. We go, well, if I go to this person and I hang out with them, it's going to be great and I'm going to feel good. If I buy this thing, I'm going to feel better. My face is going to look better and therefore I'm going to look better and I'm going to feel better and be happy. Or I'm going to do this or I'm going to take this or I'm going to take this drug. It doesn't work because we can't get happiness outside of ourselves because it doesn't exist. Everything else is an illusion. Okay, so we figure we got to look within us, and when we return back, we're going to be talking about solutions. So if you fit any of these typecast molds, and you're tired of living this, and you're over it, and you want a new life, you got to stay tuned. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about typecasting, about how we have typecasted ourselves in a lot of different things in our life, whether it's we've typecasted ourselves as the savior to save other people, and we want them to love us so bad we do whatever, but the problem is that something happens, and then resentment comes, and then the person that you thought was going to love you forever wants a divorce. The person that you thought was going to love you forever wants out. Okay, and then you go, why is this happening to me? Why does everybody always take advantage of me and use me? Why do I always find the wrong people? And then guess what happens? You go through the divorce, you start over again, bam, you're in it again. Okay, it's that savior complex. What about the victim? Started out as a victim, probably in a hostile family dynamic, and things were happening to you because you're a kid. There was nothing you could do. It's not like you could get in the car and leave at 5 years old. Okay, you couldn't. So unfortunately, as a child being put through pain and suffering, you begin to feel as though everything's always happening to you and you have no power over it, and you go into your adult life as the victim too. Whether it's that or I'm not good enough, you have that typecast where everything in your life, you're never good enough, you always feel lesser than, or I'm always going to be lonely, I'm destined to walk the world alone, or unhappy. I'm never going to be happy. I keep looking to find happiness, but I can never find it. That's the problem first, is you can't look for it because it doesn't exist outside of you, okay? And so what we're going to talk about now, and I know this is Michael's favorite part, is solution.
Absolutely. Solutions. And you know what we talk about a lot, Ashley, on our show is the way I live my life today is I have got to seek spiritual solutions for human problems, all right? And that's what's working for me today. And as we're talking about relationships, we talked about resentments, all right? What is a resentment? Well, the resentment is, the reason why I have a resentment is because I play a role in it. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about this victim role. It's like, wait a minute, I got a resentment towards this person, but I'm so sick that I cannot see the role I play in it because I think my side of the street is clean, all right? But when I start getting honest, number one, I get honest, I put the sword down and I want to get well. When I look at the resentment, then I see what role I play in it. Once I see what role I play in it, then I become stronger. I'm like going, okay, now I can see the role I play in this. So my next relationship's going to, you know, to be better. I cannot have a relationship with anybody unless I have a strong relationship with God. Mm-hmm. How in the heck can I have a relationship with anybody in the flesh if I have no relationship in the spiritual realm whatsoever? Okay, because based on my past experiences, I was a train wreck in relationships. Reason why is because I'm self-centered, I'm self-seeking, and it's all about me. I'm a habitual liar, and I'm going to say whatever I can say to make you feel good to get what I want. Mm-hmm. All right, that's what we're talking about here. When I hear you saying this, my personal story is that's what I did. So what is the solution? The solution is, number one, I got to get honest, okay? I got to look at what role I play in the deal. And then I've got to clean house. I got to make amends. I got to clean up my side of the street and make it right. And then I go live life on life's terms and have a relationship with God. Then God's going to put the right person, exactly the person he wants in my life. And it's more magical. Two healthy people working towards the same goal instead of two sick people working opposite directions.
I totally agree with you, Michael. You know, I've told several people this. There was a time when I took a whole year off. You know, the last person I dated, I moved out. I took a year off of dating, and I took a year off, and I got to know myself, and I started looking at my patterns, my typecast, okay? Because it's not all everybody else's problem, okay? Mm-hmm. It takes two to tango. And so I had to sit there and say, what are my problems? What do I got to take care of? And what I realize is that when we look at patterns in our life, okay, so if you start seeing patterns and you begin to realize that these last five relationships have the same pattern, okay, and you start peeling back that, like, that onion and you realize, okay, what's the part that I've played in it? Because I'll give you a quick math, a thing of math, right? Let's look at a little equation. Rough childhood generally equals rough adulthood.
Yes.
Okay, so that's math right there, 101 right here. You heard it right on Live Your True Life Perspectives. So the thing is that you had a rough childhood, and that sucks. But we got to get over that, because do you want that to rule your life for the rest of your life? Do those people deserve to have that power over you? No. Okay, so now we got to say, how do I make these changes? Because obviously this pattern's going, but this is started at a childhood. Now, how do I forgive the situation that happened? And how do I let go of the repetitive pattern? Because you know what? It's time for me to have some happiness. It's time for me to have some joy.
It's time to take some risk.
And take risk.
It's time to take risk and raise your hand. Men work with men. Women work with men, women. And a man will see a godly man. I always saw the man that I wanted what he had. I was too scared because of ego and pride to raise my hand and said, listen, I don't know how to be a man. Mm-hmm. I need help. And that's the solution, is to reach out and ask for that help, as opposed to hanging around men where I felt comfortable with. And when the men that I felt comfortable with were sick.
And that's the thing, too, is that we have to get out of our comfort zone. Even though our comfort zone is probably pretty uncomfortable, because if you've been the victim for a really long time, it's not bringing you joy. It's just what you know. If you've been saving everybody, you know, the whole time, it's probably not be giving you joy, because that went away a long time ago, and you're realizing that you feel like you're used and taken advantage of. And it seems that nothing you do is ever good enough, right, for all those people you've been saving. And it seems like after you save them, they kick you in the face and they tell you, hey, I'm out of here. I'm leaving because you're smothering me. Okay, so now we got to step back and say, when did you begin to, you know, believe a bill of goods that said that the only way you're going to actually get love is if you help somebody and you give them all this stuff? See, that's the thing, is that we have to figure out what unconditional love is, and we have to figure out how to love ourselves first, and it begins by letting go of these BS identities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's the key. Until we finally let that go and we say, I deserve to be loved too, but you know who deserves to be loved first? Myself, by me. Then all of a sudden, the whole dynamic changes. But I'm not talking about ego here, okay? There's a big difference.
A huge difference.
I got a lot of people out there that go, well, hey, I'm all this, and look at me, and I love myself. That's not love, okay? That's not what love is. Egotistical, acting like you're better than everybody. That's not love, because that's just fake again. Now we're just putting on airs. You know, now we're just putting on airs.
Love is patient. It's tolerant. It's kind. It's self-control. Those are those are the qualities of love. That's biblical.
And you got to be able to do that for you.
That's right. I mean, what is love? And it's in, you know, it's in Corinthians. It's in Galatians. And,
go through that again. What are
love is patient. Love is kind. Love is tolerant. Love is self-controlled. Okay. And love is I love you and expecting nothing in return. Mm-hmm. Expecting nothing in return. You know, my goal today, Ashley, and you know, I've talked about this today. My goal today is to be that spiritual leader of the household. That's my role as a man. Not a control issue, but to be that leader. You're yearning. You're starving for that. Women are starving for that. And when that happens, it's magical. But what's happening is based on my past relationships, it's two sick people getting together, and we are trying to build a house with no floor plans, no budget, all right, no builder, okay? And it's just a pile of junk. And we just skirt the issue for so long, and then it ends up being a disaster, and a lot of people get hurt.
That's so true. And so it's all about being two whole people before you got to be a whole person before you even consider getting into a relationship, because what happens is we have the cycle, okay? Because we all play the part, and until we get right with whatever that is that we're doing, we're going to bring it back into that relationship too, okay? And if somebody's not healthy either, they're going to let you bring that in. Okay, but from a healthy perspective, from somebody that is healthy and they see you coming in with those bags, those Louis Vuitton trunks of emotional issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see somebody coming my way. I mean, you know, I'm married, but if I was to see somebody coming my way and say, hey, I really think you're awesome, but you got to take care of some stuff before we even have this conversation. You know, it's like when somebody meets somebody that just got divorced yesterday. Okay, and they're like, "Yeah, I think we're gonna make a great. We're gonna be the best relationship. We're gonna make the best couple." It's like, whoa, wait a second. Why would you ever get in a relationship with someone that just got divorced? They got all this stuff they got to deal with, and you're gonna go into that and think that you're gonna save them or make them happy when this person needs to figure out who they are. I mean, they need some time.
That person needs to reestablish a relationship with God. They got a clean house. They gotta do an inventory of themselves before they can make this serious, serious commitment.
Exactly. And we all have to begin to love ourselves first, because you can't expect somebody to love you if you don't love you. Because that makes no sense whatsoever. And I hope you caught that, because that's instrumental. You've got to love yourself and begin to understand that. And it begins with letting go of preconceived ideas, letting go of the typecasting, and begin to see yourself honestly and love yourself and not be so hard and cruel on yourself, okay? And it starts with that, and then that will radiate to other people. Bill, I've had a blast being in the studio, man. What a fun time.
I mean, blast from the past, huh?
We're coming back. We're coming back, baby. We're back, baby. But we're on all the time. The show's coming out all the time. And y'all got to, you know, check it on the website, ashleyburgess.com. You know, check out the podcast. Check that out. Bill, I love you.
Love you, too. Thanks for having me back.
I love you. You're always
one more time.
One more time, baby. I think we got several years.
Oh yeah,
a longer time. We don't even talk about age after that, you know. So we'll just let it go.
I think this is show number 540.
Nice.
Wow.
I think so. Yeah, I'd have to check, but I think we're getting up into the mid 500s. Yeah.
540, baby. 540, yeah. Baby.
The 540.
540. Bill, I love you.
Good. Love you too, Ashley. Thanks.
Michael, it's so great to have you in the studio, and I just love that we're able to talk about Solution and really continue this conversation. But let's continue it going on, and I can't wait to have you back in studio with me.
Thank you so much for letting me be on your show. This is great.
I just love it. For all you out there, there is Solution. Remember, it's all about unconditional love, caring about yourself, and doing what's right by you. And don't forget, I love you. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, back this time in three shakes.